Jeremiah 12. You are righteous, Yahweh, when I contend with you, yet I would reason the cause with you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are all they at ease who deal treacherously? We just read in chapter 11 of how Jeremiah came to realize that the men of his own village, his own family, were plotting to kill him. And I think it's in that context that he asks this question. Why are these people who are so treacherous apparently prospering? You've planted them. Yes, they've taken root. They grow. They bring forth fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. Now, Jeremiah is raising here the problem of evil. Why does God allow the wicked to prosper? Why does God allow evil in the world? But he begins with this quest, with this statement, you're righteous. I accept that you're right. But I do want to discuss this with you, God. In looking at this difficult question of why God allows evil, this is so important to recognize that God is righteous, that God is right. And I think this question of why God allows bad things to happen to good people and why God doesn't get more involved in the world, as it seems at times, although he is, it's just that we don't realize it. I think this is to test our humility and to test our faith that God is in fact right. But you, Yahweh, know me. You see me and try my heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the whole country wither? For the wickedness of those who dwell therein, the animals are consumed and the birds. Because they said, he shall not see our latter end. So I think that's how we should be, like Jeremiah, being able to say to God, you, Yahweh, know me, you see me, and you test my heart. God is looking at human hearts and testing them. If you have run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And though in a land of peace you are secure, yet how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? For even your brothers and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Even they have cried aloud after you. Don't believe them, though they speak beautiful words to you. How painful it must have been for Jeremiah to be rejected by his own family and to actually have them wanting to kill him. That is how bitter people get when you speak the truth and they don't want to hear it. That's why Paul says, I have become your enemy. Because I tell you the truth, and that is how it is so often in life. That's why at the beginning, in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to mentally strengthen you so that you can be my witness. I have forsaken my house. I have cast off my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. So God is not, as it were, lashing out at his people, some sort of offended God. He says, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. He really loved Israel. He didn't want this to happen. My heritage has become to me as a lion in the forest. She has uttered her voice against me. Therefore, I have hated her. Is my heritage to me as a speckled bird of prey? Are the birds of prey against her all around? Go, assemble all the animals of the field, bring them to devour. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard, they've trodden my portion underfoot, they have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. It mourns to me, being desolate. The whole land is made desolate, because no man lays it to heart. Again and again in the prophets, the heart. This is the issue. Whether people take all these things seriously, whether they hear the word of God and they hear the message of judgment to come and God's moral demands upon man, and whether they lay that to heart or not. And they didn't. They did not take God's word seriously. Destroyers have come on all the bare heights in the wilderness. The sword of Yahweh devours from one end of the land to the other. No flesh has peace. They have sown wheat and have reaped thorns. They have put themselves to pain and profit nothing. So really all this was coming because, although in a sense God brought it, they had brought it on themselves. Thus says Yahweh, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have cursed. Behold, I will pluck them up from off their land, and will pluck up the house of Judah from among them. It shall happen, after that I have plucked them up, I will return and have compassion on them, and I will bring them again, every man to his inheritance. It shall happen, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as Yahweh lives, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built up in the midst of my people. But if they will not hear, then will I pluck up that nation and destroy it. So God was wanting to actually bring the Gentile nations who were punishing his people. He even dreamed of bringing them to know him and to become his true people, even though he was going to judge them. So you see, all the time that God is talking judgment to Israel and to the nations, he actually wants to save them and dreams, as it were, of the day when they might turn to him.